Hey everybody, thanks for joining us on Code Chat today. My name is Jeremy Foster, aka Code Foster, and you can find me online at codefoster.com and on Twitter at Code Foster. Today on Code Chat, we have a little bit of something special going on. We have a little rewards program. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't heard of develop.com, spelled D-V-L-U-P.com. This is a rewards program that we have that's pretty cool. You kind of sign into it and you get your profile and you're given challenges. And if you complete these challenges, you get develop points, reward points, and you can redeem these for some pretty awesome prizes all the way up to, phones and devices and tablets and Xboxes and whatever. So yeah, it's a pretty cool program, and we're doing something special on the show today where embedded in the show, there's gonna be a secret code word. You're gonna have to watch the show, find the code word, and then use that code word to jump out to the develop site and redeem that for some extra points. So definitely do that. But on to more important matters. Today with me is my guest, Jeff Lembeck. How are you doing, Jeff?
Doing all right. How are you?
Good. Jeff works at NPM, so that's super exciting and very relevant for my audience. NPM is like the core of the web development, so.
Yeah. We definitely
want to be.
Try to be that. that's what our goal is all the time.
Now, I imagine that most of the people in my audience know all about NPM and use it every day, but for the people who don't, can you let us know what is NPM?
So NPM is the part of Node that allows you to download modules and packages easily and to use them within your Node projects.
Okay.
People know it as Node Package Manager, but that's actually a backronym. That's not what NPM stands for. NPM kind of stands for nothing.
It stands for nothing. It's like KFC.
Yeah, all right. It's just NPM Inc., and that's that.
Awesome. All right, so that's what NPM is. What it seems to me as a user, like NPM is Node. It's like part of Node. When I install Node, I get NPM. Is that the case, or what's the history there?
So yeah, originally, like way back when, Node didn't have NPM as part of it. But then Isaac, who's currently the CEO of NPM, he was working as part of Node Core, and they needed a package manager that made the process easier.
Okay. Right?
To every other big language, they've got something that they'll hit off of in order to get their packages. So he wanted to make it like part of the system, or the Node Core wanted to make it part of the system. And so NPM was built, and it made it so you could just run NPM install this package.
Okay.
Boom, you've got it in your project instead of having to download and run an install that might have binaries involved and might have cross browser or cross system compatibility issues. NPM install package name. Done. So as it was built, now it is packaged and has been for a little bit packaged with Node. So you know if you're using Node, you would like to include modules, NPM is there for you to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Good. Well, that's good. I mean, we've all seen it, as part of it, but it's good to know specifically what that's for.
Yeah.
But no, NPM is a company now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's the whole mission? What's your guys' charter?
So we are set to be where you go especially right now, where you go if you want JavaScript, not just Node-based, but front-end JavaScript packages too. If you want a JavaScript package, we want to make it as easy as possible for you to get it.
Okay.
Sometimes that might be counter to our own business interest. But for example, if you want something that is just the latest off of GitHub instead of something that's been put in production and uploaded to NPM, because that tends to be what NPM is for. We're there so you can put things into production or put them, we're for delivery of code.
Yeah.
So even in the case of where somebody they wanted to test with their GitHub, repo and they wanted to hit it, you can just put that in your package JSON. You can say, this is the module I want, here's the Git repo for it.
Oh, interesting.
And so we focus on making sure that the user process, like the whole UX of the system, is as smooth and as easy as possible. And that's what our mission is to be the package manager for all JavaScript that makes this a seamless thing.
See, that's interesting because I feel like a lot of modern tech companies are making some greedy choices. You know, like we want to bring everybody back here so that we can be the center of everything, and pretty soon the whole world is dependent on us, right?
Yeah.
And then I feel like there are some companies, it sounds like NPM is this, are trying to do the right thing by the customer, even if it means they're not coming through our system, but we're doing the right thing for the user. Well, you end up being loved by the user because of that. You end up being the knowledge leader.
Right, and that is where it becomes, I guess, good business at that point. You know, the more happy users we have, the more, if we roll out a feature that could appeal to those users, like there's a wider user base it could appeal to. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a feature that's, you know, a paid service or something to that effect. And it becomes something where we've made people happy. They're comfortable using our product. They don't feel like we're trying to take advantage of them. They don't feel like we're trying to, you know, steer them in the wrong direction. And that's just good rapport to build.
Right.
And if whether they pay us or not, we'd like to be able to deliver them an experience that's like that. That's just, you know, something that's smooth and open feeling.
Yeah.
And that builds trust. And having users, you know, having a lot of users trust you, that's important.
Yeah. It's hard because you can't necessarily prove it with a business model that this is going to end up resulting in a user that chooses us. And yet, we kind of know as humans that when you treat people right, they're going to end up, you know, making the right choice.
For sure.
So those are the users of NPM. What about being an employee of NPM?
So right now, we've been hiring a bunch lately, which is great because we've got a ton of things coming down the pipeline.
Lots to do.
Yeah, I think we're at 21 right now. We might be at 22 employees.
Okay.
but being an employee of NPM means, well, knowing the mission statement and like absorbing that a little bit, that we're building this for users. And it means being able to interact in a way with your teams. Like I'm one of the web engineers. Our team is currently 3 people. 2 of us are remote.
Oh, wow.
And we you know, sometimes work on little slip schedules and whatnot, but being part of the NPM just general team means that like collaboration is really, really common. We're constantly pairing. Communication is of the utmost importance. We know when each other's schedules are. We know how things are going to work. We know how things are rolling out. We focus on making sure that we are in with each other and never like competing with each other.
Yeah.
And then the big deal that's always nice from the top down is that we never work more than 40-hour weeks.
Oh, wow.
In fact, if you do, like, management comes down on you. and that's, you know, I shouldn't say never, because I'm sure that we have a few people who will like kick in a few more hours like under the table because they really like the product, especially
yeah, right.
on the CLI team. I see that all,
sure.
like I see them like really championing the product as much
yeah.
as possible. But yeah, the big deal that we've found is that if people sleep, they're happy.
Wow.
It turns out. It's wild, right? You get enough sleep and get to spend time with your friends and family and or doing the things you like on your off time.
Yeah.
And then you at work are, you know, not a terrible person to work with and or you are you're well rested and you're productive and you're thinking. And there's actually been a ton of studies on this, and there's science behind it, that if you overwork people, they drain and they burn out and it becomes like a business crashing thing. But if you don't, like if you keep with it, especially on a smaller team, you can keep people on your team for a lengthier period of time, and keeping them on there for a lengthy period of time means better domain knowledge. It means, you know, better interaction with other employees.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the happiness that we like try to keep in. And that's nice.
And you hear companies talk about that, but to implement, you know, strategic policies to make sure that that happens means that they don't just talk about it, but they believe it.
Yeah. And like, let's face it, it's all part of a great experiment here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of times people halfway implement this or they, you know, mostly implement this, but we're like trying to go for it here.
Yeah.
And so it's our leadership's general, like, here's what we're gonna do, and we're gonna stick by this. And if it fails, it failed, but at least nobody burnt out in the process.
Yeah, right.
But it looks like it's it's really successful so far.
Yeah.
Every goal that we've tried to meet, we've just blown out of the water.
Yeah.
And everybody that works there is like a super joy to work with.
I imagine it really is a huge benefit for a company to keep people around, because that domain knowledge is huge. I mean, I know that in my role, I feel like the first year at least was really coming up to speed. And by other definitions, I feel like the whole time I've been at Microsoft, it's been coming up to speed.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the first 2 years, the first 6 months to a year of a company is always like getting used to the pace, getting used to the people you work with, knowing the things about what you're building.
Yeah.
At least the first 6 months for that.
Yep.
And then, you know, if somebody drops in 2 years, which that's not uncommon in our industry, you've only had somebody who's got a year and a half of really, really great, productive, you can go to them for anything kind of knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's just not helpful.
So what's the specifics of your role? You said you're a web engineer?
Yeah, so there are two of us that kind of work, there are three people on the team. One of them is, her name is Arya. She is a really, really, she's the architect of the system. But Raquel and I are the people who build this.
There we go.
We build the front end.
Probably we've all been here.
We build the front end. We work with the back end, or we build the back end. We build the site that you use.
Okay. So all the stuff that's not the CLI, that's not the stuff that I do at the command line, all the stuff that I do on the web is in your domain.
Yeah. We also have a team that works on our general services. The project is, it's like a distributed systems. Set up, and so there are people who work on that service layer that we communicate with, and we'll occasionally drop back there and work with them on things. But we work on consuming those services and then presenting them to you.
Yeah. So this is the whole UI here. This is your baby, and we were just looking at, and this is npmjs.com. .org goes to the same place. I was going to .org until you told me, oh, you just go to .com too. Oh, good. Now I can hit Control Enter.
Yeah.
But this is a good-looking UI. What do you guys use as a framework for this? Everybody's making this choice these days.
So actually, our framework is nothing. We build our own UI components. We try to keep everything as simple and as small as possible.
Okay.
Our largest JavaScript library, jQuery, there is no other stuff. We are really, really focused at this point in time in building something that's light and fast.
Okay.
Being light and fast means that, well, spotty connection, fine. I mean, NPM is a worldwide product.
Mm-hmm.
We need to focus on people that are not just in, well, Seattle or the Bay Area or New York and Boston, but, you know, places that are big tech hubs. We need to focus on making sure that whoever is using it can get what they want, and they can get it quickly.
Okay.
And they can get it in some manner that, you know, like that gets them the information that they need in some kind of accessible way.
So does that feel like it makes it your job as the development team harder because you don't have a framework to stand on?
You know, this is personal experience on this. I've been building front ends for a while. And I keep finding that unless I want to get things up to pace, like I am building something that I need to roll out quickly, I don't have that problem here. So I don't need to like fall back on a framework. If we can focus on, hey, we're having a new feature here from design, here's some UI components that we're thinking about adding. What do you feel about them? How can we build these? And then we can have our own kind of framework in-house that keeps things nice and light instead of having to maybe overwrite somebody else's framework.
Yeah.
Which many of those work fantastically, but they're just not for us at this point.
Yeah. Now I've read that NPM uses Happy in some way. Is that right?
Yeah. So Happy is what controls our backend.
Okay.
Happy is our backend framework. So, like, we need a framework there.
Yeah. Right.
So rolling your own backend framework is like a special. That takes a really, really, really intense human being who is just who has way more brain power than I do. So we chose Happy. At the time, Happy was actually chosen before I started, but Happy's been great to use. It has a really strong focus on security, and having a really strong focus on security is really important to us.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, you know, a lot of people trust us with their code. And so making sure that we have something where people cannot enter, that's a big deal.
Yeah, right. So
we use Happy because of that. And yeah, it's been a good product for us. I have no complaints about, here's some good, here's some bad, but like, you know, every framework.
Everyday
gripes that come in with it.
And Happy is, just so people know, it's not spelled normal. That's this one, right?
Yeah, H-A-P-I. Right.
Okay. And that's in NPM, right?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that,
that would make sense.
We've got that.
Good, that would make sense. Well, what are the hard parts of your job as a web engineer?
So, I was talking earlier about making things fast, making them accessible. And sometimes it's easy when we do have a lot of things coming down the pipeline. Mm-hmm. There's only a couple of us that are, building these features out, mm-hmm. at least front end building these features out. There's a few of us building these features out as far as how the web interaction goes, mm-hmm. At a time. And the three of us will therefore not have necessarily the bandwidth to handle all the things that are coming in.
Yeah.
So in that, it's sometimes difficult to step back and go, okay, listen, what we're looking for here is to build the best thing we can. And building the best thing we can, well, this is a side note about NPM. Deadline is it's a relatively negative word.
Okay.
It tends to be, we're going to roll this out. We'd like to roll it out around this point.
Okay.
If it's not the best it can be at this point, we are going to not roll it out.
Oh, gotcha.
Because there's, people, if they're using our product, people need to be able to, know that it's consistent and mm-hmm. know that it's good. Mm-hmm. And so we're, stepping back and being able to focus on, okay, is this site fast? Is this site accessible? And that part, accessibility isn't a super difficult thing, but it's a thing that a lot of people don't focus on as they're building stuff. So it's
right.
nice to take a step back and go, okay, does this work when I use JAWS or VoiceOver? Does mm-hmm. this work on a colorblind level? And actually, we have some problems with that right now that we're focusing on and trying to, that is definitely in our pipeline. Hey, we need to make sure that this works well. You know, if somebody can use this even if they're a little hard of sight or impaired in some other fashion that might make it difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So focusing on that, focusing on quick interactions, and this isn't throughout the entire site, but I'm kind of a sucker for progressive enhancement.
Oh, wow.
And so making sure that if our CDN gets spotty real quick, or if somebody's on, a cell phone and they just want to search for a package really quickly and read some docs while they're on the bus, which I've done so many times in my life, that they can get there, they can get it quickly, they can roll through, the site is responsive because of that. That's what we do.
Yeah.
It's important to make sure that people everywhere can use this and they can use it in some kind of sustainable way.
How do you
way.
Handle, I'm sure you've got a gigantic backlog.
Yeah.
How do you handle user voice? How do you figure out what is the next thing you're going to work on and offer?
So we have a few different ways that things are coming down the pipeline. We have, of course, the business drivers.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make money.
Mm-hmm.
That part's important.
Mm-hmm.
We are in charge of a large open source project that many people depend on. We need to continue to make money in order to do that.
And let me pause right there, because I always say that I really love open source, but I don't want everything to be free, because I want to, for certain companies, I want to pay them some money so that they can do some research and development and progress this world of technology. I want that to be in place as well.
Yes, and thank you. please. We have this, roadmap that is, the business is definitely helping drive.
Mm-hmm.
And marketing in that same circle helps drive. Here's what we can do to better reach out to people, to, have them see the benefits of, some of the services that we offer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are things that, could really work for them, and maybe they don't know about them yet,
mm-hmm.
or they haven't been shown what benefits are there for them yet. And so we've got that stuff going on, and that's really, really good. But a lot of the times we're actually driven by GitHub issues. If you've got a mm-hmm. problem on the site, or you have a feature request on the site, we have everything, I mean everything, up on GitHub.
Yeah.
So you can roll in there and go, listen, I was using the site and the search, okay, the search functionality up until recently was a common complaint.
Okay.
It was changed up a little bit.
This search right here?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was changed up a little bit. You would type in the name of a package. It might be the 20th response down.
Mm-hmm.
We had, you know, different weights in Elasticsearch for how we were building, you know, mm-hmm. how we were delivering those things.
Mm-hmm.
We've changed up recently to make that better. We were able to drive that because of our users. They were able to kick in and do that. We also have, and plug for this, our designer takes UX meetups, like online. He'll have you drive through the site with him and go, you know, here's some things that I feel are clunky. Here's some things that I like about it. Here's things that, so he can get a general feeling of how our users actually use the site. Because while we do totally dog food our own application here,
mm-hmm.
we have like an extent of domain knowledge that, well, you know, everybody else on Earth doesn't have.
Yeah.
Like we use it a lot more than anybody else. So,
yeah.
So we're going to, like we drive things. So business, marketing, gotta be able to pay for the product that we're building here. And then GitHub issues, that mm-hmm. comes down the pipeline. And we try to spend at least one day a week answering those and getting to those. And I'm really, really sorry if we haven't gotten to yours.
If you have a standing issue with Jeff.
Yeah, no, like, I promise we will answer you and get to it. But
well, I asked you a question recently, and you said, that's a CLI issue, you know, drop an issue here, and I did. And sometimes I don't expect to hear back for 4 days, and I heard back in like 4 minutes, and their answer was, yeah, it's, you know, it was the question on the behavior of NPM remove or uninstall on
right.
its own.
Yeah.
And they answered me and said, yep, that's working as you experienced it, and it's by design, you know, but we'd love to hear what your feedback on that is.
Yeah.
And we'd also love some help with the documentation, so feel free to do a pull request. I'm sure it would be approved. So.
Yeah, no, that's, like, docs are tough in that aspect.
Yeah.
You always want to make sure that they're upkept, or the upkeep is strong with it. But once again, that domain knowledge thing, something that you might not think of documenting mm-hmm. because you just haven't run into the issue. You haven't, like, you know how it works internally, so you might never run into that issue. Those kind of things, yeah, I love extra documentation on them because especially if it's pretty easy to pull down the readme and
well,
go.
And especially when your audience is so huge. I mean, you guys have so many people that come that the odds of somebody finding exactly what they're looking for in the documentation, or the odds of somebody looking for whatever obscure concept it is in the documentation are pretty high.
Yeah, yeah. And for that matter, the odds, you know, if they haven't found it, it might still be in there. And so that's a documentation improvement that needs to happen.
Yeah, there you go. You know. Some feedback or some restructuring.
Right.
What about, do you guys talk very much about what you're working on that users don't know about yet, the stuff that's on the roadmap?
Yeah. We try to be open about what's coming next, what's going. And so right now what we're working on is organizations.
Okay.
So like right now you can buy private modules from NPM. And if you
But that's are, recent, right?
Yeah, that's pretty recent.
Mm-hmm.
We rolled that out really recently.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to like have a namespaced thing that nobody else should be able to get access to, just you as a user, then you can have a private module. And it's like $7 a month and you're the user who can get that now.
Mm-hmm.
But what we were asked for immediately upon this is, hey, I manage an organization. We have 50 employees who might need to get this from you. They're on different teams, mm-hmm. so you have organizations and you have, you know, different teams in that organization. And we'd like to just be able to pay for our users here
mm-hmm.
and handle it from there. And we can have our own private package area and everything can be namespace to it. So like Microsoft was the organization, they could have a team here that works on this project, and
mm-hmm.
they have these internal things that they've built with NPM, and they want to have that code, you know, hidden from the world because it's a private package for them.
Yeah.
Maybe it has important information in it. Maybe it's just something they don't want to open source yet.
Yeah.
Or, you know, ever in many cases, and that's
mm-hmm.
totally fine. We'd love to be able to support that, and so that's what we're working on right now. So, in that note, plug npmjs.com/orgs.
It's always dangerous to show the news, right?
Yeah. it'll redirect you right now. We'd love to have more people on the list to help test it. We're rolling out an alpha right now to people who have, you know, like customers who want to test it at this point.
Okay.
We'd love to get you in on if you're, you know, an organization that love to, you know, that sounds interesting too.
Yeah.
We'd love to have people be able to come in and, you know, step into the next phase or the phase after that. We'll have betas rolling out before this is something that's general public release.
Yeah.
And in that, yeah, you can totally sign up for it. And that'll be, you know, come down the pipeline eventually that you can use that before the general public does. And that's great.
Wonderful.
We will ask you for bug reports.
You will be requested.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up. But is there anything else that you wanted to share with developers out there about NPM?
It's been a great product for me. And before I used it, it's great to work there on it. So if you ever feel like, hey, I need something that can handle this stuff, or I have bugs that I'd like to address, or maybe this doesn't address something specific that you're looking for, feel totally free to hit us up.
Like, cool.
Our GitHub is a popular place for it. We do not shy away from, hey, maybe this isn't, you know, appropriate now, but it will be in the future.
Yeah.
We do have a pipeline of things coming down. We're constantly ramping the team. So if NPM is like a place that you'd like to work for, watch our hiring page.
Good.
People are coming down and looking for stuff, and what we're looking for at certain times, we're looking for actually a community manager right now, somebody to come in and, you know, handle documentation for our products, as we talked about before, and handle a lot of developer relations related things. And so that's, yeah, those are some things that are worth talking about.
That's awesome. Well, my experience has been that I love Node and I love NPM. And so the product is really has a really good reputation in my experience from the people that I've talked to and myself. And so it's really awesome to meet you and to talk about NPM the company and to hear that there's like a really cool company behind it as well.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for joining us this time on Code Chat. Hopefully you did find the secret code hidden in this episode of Code Chat, and hopefully you will make your way to develop.com to get some extra points. It's a really cool program. And we'll see you next time on Code Chat.